couple special ladies in my life. Amen. Thank the Lord for them. And, of course, my wife and Carrie. Care Bear. We call her Care Bear. Amen. She's Pop's girl. Are you still Pop's girl? She's not used to being talked to from the pulpit, is she? Oh, she's distressed because Autumn left. Where'd Autumn go? Okay, all right. I thought she was going to the Catholic Church or something like that. I was worried. You had me worried there for a second. But anyway, God's good. Amen. Thank you. Wonderful song. If that isn't love, what a blessing. Deuteronomy 10 in your Bibles tonight. Deuteronomy 10. I feel the sermon coming on tonight out of the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 10. I'm going to preach tonight on another one of the roles that God has given us, and that is the role of a servant. The role of a servant. As we speak, this, the third message in the roles that God has given us. You know, God's given us roles that we need to follow and that we need to yield and submit our hearts to and live for God with all our heart. And one of those great roles is this role of being a servant of the Lord. Let's begin tonight, Deuteronomy chapter number 10. We're going to begin with verse number 1, and we'll read through verse number 12 here. And this is a story of Moses coming back down off of the mount, and God commands him to hew out another set of the Ten Commandments that they would use and place in the Ark of the Covenant. But because the children of Israel had gone away from the Lord, that was the reason that the first set that God had given them had been destroyed. Because you remember, Moses came down from the mount and he cast the Ten Commandments down on that golden calf and destroyed them. So God in this passage is commanding Moses to make another set that the children of Israel might know and understand God's law. So we're going to pick up here chapter 10, verse 1, and follow along, please, as I read. The Bible says here, "At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took the journey from Beeroth of the children of Joktan to Moserah. And there Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto God Godah, and from God Godah to Jotbath, the land of rivers and waters. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant to the Lord, of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him and to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now verse 12 is my text tonight. "And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day for thy good. Let's bow our prayer tonight as we begin the message. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God, have our hearts challenged and blessed and spoken to once again. And God, I pray tonight that as we open the Scriptures tonight, that Lord, that we would see thy Word as a servant, that we would understand better the role of a servant, Lord. That God, you would make us the servants of the Lord to a greater capacity. And Lord, I pray that you'd just meet with us in a wonderful way. Thank you for the testimonies tonight. Thank you for so many good things and just the things that you're doing in the lives of people. We are thankful and grateful. And Lord, may you take those things and use them in our lives for your glory and honor. I pray, bless me as we open the Word tonight, Lord. Use it in every heart and every mind, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. The role of a servant. As I mentioned earlier, Moses had just come down from the mount, and God had commanded him to make two new tablets of stone, just like the first set. He was also to build an ark, and in that ark he would place those tablets of stone, and he would bring them down to the people, and the people there would have those as a perpetual remembrance that they had to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God had graciously brought them out of Egypt. He had heard their cry. He had seen their stripes from the taskmasters, and he had taken them graciously out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, out of chains, and brought them unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But God said in that process that when I do that, I want you to have the Ten Commandments. I want you to take these things because God is requiring something of you. God requires something of you. It was not a requirement that they could not fulfill. It was not a requirement that was insignificant. It was not a requirement that they could not do. God never asks us to do something we cannot do. We just have to have faith in God to do it. Amen. We have to believe what God told us to do. And so Moses comes down from the mount. He carries the ark. He has the Ten Commandments, the second set, so to speak, in the ark of the covenant. And he says to all Israel this message in verse number 12. He says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day for thy good." God, in a nutshell, said, all right, I've freed you from Pharaoh. I've given you command. It's time to serve me. It's time to serve me. Can I tell you, God's command was to be a servant of God, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My, the platform by which he had given them this understanding to serve him was this platform that he had been gracious to them, that he had poured out his mercy to them. God's mercy is good. It's great. It's never ending, never fails. God took them out of the land of Egypt, out of their taskmasters, and brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh man, what a blessing. Because of that, God said, I want you to serve me. Love the Lord thy God. Fear God with all your heart. And I want you to serve me with all your heart. Now that's the role that God has for us. He gave it to the children of Israel. And we, through Israel, were grafted into that olive tree that the Bible talks about. We became also those servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a role for us to fill. That role is the role of being a servant. Can I tell you, God wants to be the master of our life, and God wants us to be the servant and serve him. Can I tell you, the greatest blessings in life are found when a Christian is a servant of God. A servant. There's, you know, sometimes there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Amen? But God is saying, every one of you, be a good Indian. Amen? So to speak. Be a servant of the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart, all thy mind. That's the role that God wants us to play. Can I tell you what? Serving God means that we have a duty to yield ourselves to be his servants. Now let's look at scripture tonight. I want to show you some things about being a servant. I want you to take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In your Bibles, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 6 in your Bibles. I want you to see some things here about a servant and this role that God has for every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to notice, notice that a servant has yielded his body and his rights to the master. A servant has yielded his rights and his body to the master. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You know why we're not our own? Because the Bible tells us we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I want to tell you something. If you are a servant and we're fulfilling the role that God has as a servant, we're going to yield our body and our rights to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we're bought with a price. When Christ died on that cross and when he shed his blood on Calvary, he was paying for you. He was paying to buy you back. That's what it means to be redeemed. He bought you back. He bought you back to him. And God says, your body and your spirit belong to God. Now, a lot of Christians don't live that way. A lot of Christians don't live giving their body to the Lord. I want to tell you something. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you say, now what does that mean? Let me tell you a few things that means. Number one, it means you shouldn't put dope in your body. Amen. Don't put any dope in your body. Amen. Your body is the Lord Jesus Christ's. It belongs to him and you are his servant. And God says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, by the way, marijuana is dope.
Yes, sir.
It's not just a legal thing for medicinal purposes anymore. People are getting it all over. Might as well be recreational. I want to tell you something. Dope will ruin your brain. It'll ruin your desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think cigarettes are wrong for a Christian. Don't be smoking cigarette. Like one preacher said, he said, I'm not a smoker. It's the cigarette that smokes. You're just the sucker. There's some truth to that. Amen? Hey, whatever happened to yielding our body to the Lord? Whatever happened to saying, God, I'm your servant. I yield my body to you. You know, body. Bible also talks about modesty, a lady dressing modestly. Amen? Anything that fits the form of the body, that allows the eye to see the form of the body, is not modest. It's not modest. And God says, let it be modest. You know why? My body is the Lord's. Amen. Amen. Ah, some Christians struggle with that. You shouldn't if you're taking upon you the role of a servant of God. Hey, God freed you from the penalty of sin, the least we could do is live in a way that our body pleases Him. Amen. One person went to a preacher one time and he said, "Preacher, when are you going to get off preaching on those things?" He said, "Well, as soon as you roll my body in here on the grave and have the funeral, I think then I'll be quiet, but you never know." Amen. You say, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what generation, modesty and servanthood is right in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter who doesn't listen to it. It matters that we yield ourselves servants to the Lord. Amen. I just feel like hanging on this point a little longer. Well, sometimes a lady will walk around dressed low-cut clothing, showing off her body. Sometimes a young lady will show off her body, short shorts, back in. Hey, hear me. It's not of God. It's not God's way. Keep it right. You're a servant of God. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. My body. Hey, listen. You know what? When we don't let our bodies be yielded to God, you know what we're saying? I'm the master of my life. I'm the master of my life. I own me. That goes against the word of God. God said, you're not your own. You're bought. Someone paid for you. He bought you with a price. Live right. Live clean. Live your life for Him. Don't get into a bunch of sin and a bunch of garbage. Amen. Oh, Christians try to skirt around that one. You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to live in accordance to God's word, but yet they want to feel. They want to feel His power and His presence. I want to tell you something. His real power and presence comes when we are yielded to Him in our body. Amen. How about beer, alcohol, drunkenness? That's not a servant of God. That's mastering your own life. You become your own master. Let me tell you something. God bought you with a price. He paid for you on Calvary's tree. You know, people do these things today because they think they're cool. They're cool. They say the average person who smokes cigarettes spends over $300,000 in a lifetime. You think, is there anything you could do with $300,000? Yeah. There's a lot could be done. Imagine the missionaries that could be helped and supported. And the souls that could be saved. And if we just were not masters of our own lives, of our own selves, and if we just learned servanthood, yielded to God, I'm yours. And a lot of Christians sometimes get hung up. They have a hang up on certain things. Hey, when you're a servant, you've yielded your rights to God. I'm yours. Now, listen, we can fuss with God, but if we'll just yield to God, if we let God have His way in our life, there's no fuss. Amen? The hardest way to live the Christian life is to live for God doing what we want to do instead of doing it God's way. Amen. Say, preacher, are you ever going to quit preaching on that? I'm not sure. Amen. In fact, this life, I'm going to keep on screaming and hollering about it. You know why? Because we have to serve God in the role of being a servant. Amen. I'm yours, Lord. Whatever you tell me to do, I yield my rights to you, knowing that you are the good shepherd. I yield my rights to you, knowing that you lead me to green pastures. I yield my rights to you. I give it all to you, Lord. not seeking my own mastery, but yielding to you because I know the goodness of God and the greatness of God. That old devil, he's tricky when it comes to yielding our bodies to the Lord. By the way, let me tell you, I think this also means don't be putting tattoos on your body. Hey, listen, God did not make you the devil's billboard. He didn't make you the devil's billboard. Well, I have a Christian tattoo. You ever heard that one? That's like smoking Christian cigarettes and drinking Christian beer. Amen? Yeah, you got it right. I'm one of those old holiness kind of guys. Yeah, I'm simply saying tonight, God tells us, I want you to be a servant. Serve me. Yield your rights to God. Give God what is due to him. Honor him. Glorify him in your body and in your spirit, which are his. There need not be a struggle or a stumble or a hang up on these things when our rights are yielded. It's the master that's in control. Thank God. Secondly, go to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm going to show you, secondly, that a servant serves with a perfect heart and a willing mind. A servant serves with a perfect heart and a willing mind. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Someone stole Chronicles out of my Bible. There it is. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Can't get there tonight for some reason. Look at verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and what? Serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now, can I tell you, God instructed Solomon here to serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. God said, if you're going to serve the Lord, your heart's got to be right. Amen? The heart's got to be right. You know, a lot of Christians walk around with right hearts that are not right with God. And yet they think they're serving the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't do it. You can't serve God and man. You know, the Bible says if you can't serve God and man, either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll hate the one and love the other, but you can't serve both of them. You can't serve both. God's saying, serve me with a perfect heart. That means our heart needs to be in all of our service. And then also a willing mind. You know, it's just as important that our mind serve the Lord as our body and our hands and our feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for people who serve the Lord. You know, when you do something in your church, you're doing something for the Lord. You're serving the Lord. Amen. And while we do it, God wants us to do it with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. I'm willing. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. You know, God calls you to preach. God calls you to do something. We need a perfect heart and a willing mind. We need a heart that's yielded to God. We need not struggle. We're called to be servants. We're called to be servants. God, if you called me to some far distant land, some place unknown, some place unseen, God, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Lead me. Can you say that? Can you say that to God? You know, we put reservations on God. God, I'll serve you if you do this for me. God, I'll serve you as long as this works out in my life. God says, serve me with a perfect heart and a willing mind. God, help my mind to be fully willing to serve you. Well, that's what we need. You know, it was the Apostle Paul, when he got saved in Acts chapter 9, immediately he said to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He didn't wait. He said, Lord, I'm yours. And from the beginning of the salvation day, he said, Lord, I'm yours. And he served the Lord the rest of his life. And you know, that's the way God intended it for it to be. That's God's perfect plan. He served the Lord. It wasn't always an easy road. It wasn't always fun, but he served the Lord. And he found the joy of the Lord in serving God. You know, there's a lot of joy in serving the Lord. There's a lot of joy in serving the Lord. There is great joy and happiness and peace serving the Lord. A servant serves with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. Number three, go to Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles. The book of Titus and chapter number 2. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then the book of Titus. Small book in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2 and look at verse number 9. Now again, the Bible talks about this matter of servant. Now in the Bible days, they used to have servants. It was not an unusual thing. And by the way, it wasn't a racial thing in the Bible day that they had servants. They had servants of all different kinds. There was what's called a bond slave or a bond servant in the Old Testament. And that was one who would willingly give his life and willingly give his service to a master to either pay for a debt or just in simple gratitude and appreciation for what he had done. And what they would do is they would take what's called an awl and they would put it in his ear. And it was just simply a piece of metal in the ear. And what it determined is that they were a bond slave, is that they were a slave to man. And they had someone that they were, they had a master. Now, sometimes these masters, they would get saved and become Christians. And so the question then arose, what do I do with my bondservant? What do I do with my bondslave now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm saved? What am I to do? And Paul answers that question here in Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. Notice he says, servants to be, exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not that answering again means not holding back or not, verse 10, not purloining. It means you don't hold back. It means you don't hold back. It means you give God your all. Give God everything. Everything belongs to him. And it's a servant here which teaches that a servant desires to please his master. A servant's job and his desires to want to please the master. Can I tell you, that's what our number one job is in Christian life, to please God. God wants us to please him with all our hearts and to give our hearts to God. Are you pleasing the Lord? A servant pleases his master. Can I tell you that sometimes there's times when we want to do our own will. You know, the Apostle Paul learned he had to die daily. He had to put himself on that altar and say, Lord, I die today. I want to be, and Master, I want to please you today. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the role of a servant. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are you still with me? Amen. Don't fall asleep. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Notice verse 1. An era, this is dealing with the servants and the masters. Notice it says here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit, these things teach and exhort. Now notice he's dealing with two types of people. He's dealing with a servant that had a master, and he's dealing with the master that had a slave or a bond servant. He first of all instructs the servant, and he says to the servant, he said, as many as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, can I simply say that when a servant is not yielded to his master, the name of God can be blasphemed. Think of that for a moment. Because it says that a servant has a master, but he's not yielded to that master. He's always fighting that master. And may I tell you, a Christian ought not be fighting the master. We ought to be yielded to him. Let him have his way in our life. But the servant here, notice verse 2, it then deals with the believing masters. It then deals with those who are masters, but they become saved. And it says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. Do you understand what God is getting at? He's saying when you're saved, nobody is a master of their own. He said, the master then is to serve the servant, because nobody's a master. The Lord Jesus is their master. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? So God's saying even those masters of slaves, they have a role, and that role is to be a servant of God. They're to serve even the servant. Now, can you picture the servant, the master coming in and serving the servant? Can you picture that in your mind? See, what God is trying to teach us is that you and I, no matter what course of life, no matter who we are, if we're saved, we're supposed to be servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, serving should be a wonderful thing. Serving is a joyful thing. You know, anything you do in God's house and serving the Lord, or out in the highways and hedges, anything you do for God in his name, I want to tell you what, it's doing that service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I've come over, not too long ago, I came over to church and I said, there's something funny smelling in here. What in the world is that? And I went to the men's restroom and I found the culprit. And it didn't smell very good in there. And I looked down and sure enough, it was clogged up. Yep, what a blessing. You know what God said? He said, you're a servant. Unplug that thing. Amen? I got me the plunger. I raised it like a royal scepter. I grabbed a hold of that thing. And I looked like that game they played at Vacation Bible School this year with the plungers on their head. I raised that thing up and I said, attack! Amen? Stuck that thing down in there. Did the motion like that. Man alive, nothing happened. So I pressed the little lever on the left. Don't ever do that. Don't do it. You've been warned. But I pressed the lever on the left thinking that's going to help the situation. Can I tell you, that didn't help the situation very well. That situation steadily got worse. But still with my royal scepter in my hand, I began to work that thing over as my shoes began to get wet. And as my feet were not comfortable anymore. And finally, guess what? It still wouldn't go down. Went over and got me a snake. That's the only thing a snake is good for, by the way. Amen? It's the only thing a snake's good for. And I got that snake and I went, whoop, 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 wound that thing down there. And guess what? As I wound that thing down, got there, and I pulled it out, it all splashed back up on me. It was not just my shoes that were wet. It then became my body and my face. I said, I'm going to do this no matter what. I will win this battle. And I put that thing down there again. And I ran it down there again and plugged it down there and began to pull up. And the snake wouldn't come back. And pulled the snake a little further. Got serious. There I am, covered head to toe and trying to pull that snake out. And it got stuck down there. And I said, Lord Jesus, what wilt thou have me to do? And luckily, I began to twist it, and thank God, pulled it back, and pulled that thing back, and it came free. I'm free. Pulled that thing out, but as I pulled it out, you would not believe all the things that were attached to it. When I pulled it back out, and we won't discuss that, especially in mixed company here. I pulled that thing out, and there I am in that men's bathroom, trying to figure out how to clean the snake out. Toilet still didn't go down. I actually waited a couple days. I came back, and the toilet went down all by itself. And I said, why didn't I do that in the first place? Pulled that snake out, finally got it out, finally got it clean. And you know what? The Lord said, you're just a servant of the Lord. Now, when I signed up to be called to preach, that wasn't my idea. That wasn't my thought. I didn't think God would put me in that place. But all I can say is thank God for hot water and soap. Amen. Hot water and soap make a day a wonderful thing. But here's the point. None of us are masters. None of us. We're all just servants of the Lord. And any menial task, you may not think of this, but any menial task you do for the Lord, it will make a difference in eternity. And I believe there are rewards in heaven for just the most menial of tasks that is done for the Lord with a perfect heart, a willing mind, serving the Lord. Let me show you the last thing, then we'll go home tonight. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter number 1. Book of Romans. Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, and look at verse number 9. Here's what the apostle said. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Notice, he served God with his spirit. He served God with his spirit. You know, when I'm pulling that thing back up through the bottom of the commode and pulling that thing back, you know, my spirit really wasn't too good. But I want to tell you something. When you and I decide that the lowliest and the most meaningless task to us seem worthless and unimportant. God gently comes to you, and he gently comes to me, and he says, remember something. You're a servant of the Lord. You're a servant of the Lord. Can I tell you, that is what a church is all about. It's recognizing that God made me a servant. He gave me the privilege to serve. But you know what God also did? He said, I'm not just giving you the role of a servant, but in my grace, I'm giving you the role of being a son, a child of God. He could remain us delegated to just being a servant if he chose. But he said, no, not only are you a servant, but you're a son. That means special privileges. Amen? You know, this past week, Taylor and I went on motorcycle tour. It was beautiful. And, you know, I didn't mind being a blessing and doing things for him. You know why? Not because he's my servant, but because he's my son. And that sonship brings a special quality and a specialness to the relationship of being a servant of God. I'm saying to you tonight, God just wants us to be servants, to serve him. A task meaningless? Not if it's done for God. Not if it's done for God, it makes a difference and it will matter. But we have to take that role and say, God, make me a servant like you, dear Lord. Help me to have that heart, that spirit. Help me to serve with the right spirit. Help me to put everything I have into serving you, pleasing you. Are you a servant? Take upon us tonight the role that God gave to the children of Israel long ago, that role of serving the Lord with all our heart and all our mind. Let's bow our heads tonight.